All right. Before we get into it, testing. Is it on? All right. Before we get into it, just if you were looking around, we've got several that are out this morning. Jerry and the boys are at camp, New Mexico. Lisa's sick. EJ's sick. All right. Steve and Sherry are traveling with the grandkids. Kevin should get out of the hospital in the next day or two. So we're praying towards that. But they've got his oxygen better, and they're just getting the machine ready for him to take that home for him. So let's see. Oh, and Lane's down this morning. So yeah, we got several that are sick, but we've got extra Bighams here. That's exciting. And if you haven't met him, Alex here. So that's good. And Robert and Janet are able to be with us this morning. So that's good. So, and then Jim said Alma's down. She's not feeling too well this morning as well. So we got some up, some down. We're glad you're here. We're glad that you are here as we go through and take a look at the names that the Bible tells us about God. And this morning really tells us it's his name, but it really tells us about us. So we're going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we will try to figure some of this stuff out. Our Father in heaven, we love you so much. And we confess you alone are holy. And we also celebrate the death of Jesus because he shed his blood so that we could come near you. And Father, we do not take lightly that privilege and blessing in covering our sins through his sacrifice. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for everything, but we are grateful for our salvation. We are grateful to be your children. Father, we are grateful to be yours. And Father, we are very humbled because we know that everybody in creation, everybody on earth is yours. And so many don't know it. And so many fight against it. Father, I pray that we will live to reflect your glory and wear your good name. And I pray that we will be loving and merciful towards the lost, just as you are loving and more merciful towards us. This morning, as we better understand you, and as we better understand ourselves, I pray, Lord, that we will carry your name with the honor it deserves. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Okay, as we get into the next name of God, if you've been with us for a few weeks, you've seen that that's what we've been doing. And we need to define a term. Righteous is a very important biblical term. You hear it a lot. You see it all over the place, Old Testament, New Testament. But we need to make sure that we understand it. And again, if you've been a Christian more than 10 minutes or 10 years, you're probably still trying to work through and figure out what righteousness means. But just a very simple definition. Righteousness is not perfection, as in you figured it out or you do it all exactly as it's supposed to be done. Righteousness is a standing. It is a state of being that is, and some of the words that are used to kind of describe it are right, just, innocent. And it's righteousness this morning for our discussion. It's a good way to think about it. It is a correct relation to an ethical or a legal standing. Okay? Whether it is the law, and again, whether it is the law, yep, I don't break it. Or it is family rules, yep, uphold it. If it is a job description, you have a meeting with your supervisor, and they say, okay, well, it's that time. We're going to have our, evaluation. It's time for evaluation. And righteousness would be you are meeting the you're meeting the expectations. You're in good standing. The next name of God is Yahweh Tsedkenu. I'll spell it for you. Tsedkenu. Ready, set? T-S-E-D-Q-E-N-U. Tsedkenu. Tsedkenu is a word taken from Tzedek. Tzedek means righteous. Yahweh Tsedkenu is the Lord is righteousness. It's used two times in the Old Testament, both of them in Jeremiah. So we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 23. This term is used both times in Jeremiah. And again, a little bit of backstory before we jump into the chapters. Jeremiah is written to God's people at a time when God's people have been ransacked by Babylon. They have not been faithful, and God raises up Babylon and comes in, destroys a city, wipes everything out, takes all the best people back to Babylon, and leaves all the losers. Jeremiah was a loser. Okay? Jeremiah gets stuck there. So when you're going through your Old Testament, Jeremiah, Lamentations, that was written to the people who were left behind when all the good ones were taken. Daniel, like we read this morning, Daniel was one of the good ones that got taken to Babylon, and he had to live his faith in a foreign land under foreign rule and pagan authority. Jeremiah was left behind without any resources. The walls torn down, the city is in shambles, everyone that's left there is weak and sick and hopeless and helpless. And so God's people are not in a good place. God's people are not in a good place. So when you read Jeremiah, Jeremiah is crying out to God, God, how long before you restore our fortunes, before you fix things and put us back to where we were before? Daniel writes from Babylon, from the very gates of the enemy, inside. I mean, he's embedded with the enemy. He's writing, but his message is the same thing. He's saying, how long, Lord, before you restore, let us go back home and get out of this evil place. So, you have these two historical things going on. And we're going to start in Jeremiah, because in Jeremiah chapter 23 and then again in 33, we get this name, Yahweh Tsedkenu. And this name is a name that describes God, and that's why we look at righteousness. But more importantly with this name, the Bible tells us that this name is actually to be put on someone. So it's like a moniker. It's like a moniker. Every one of us, right? Every one of us, we have a name. We have a name. Our parents decided, they wrote it down, they put it on the birth certificate, and our first names help our family and everybody else keep us separated or distinct from our siblings, right? How you tell us apart. We all have our own name. However, in our families, we all have the same last name. And the last name tells everybody what family we belong to. Right? So, Sonny and I were having this discussion earlier, and we were talking about that, because a lot of the time, when something happens in the family, if it's good, we love to share it, right? Love to tell people the awesome things our kids are doing or that happened for our spouse or happened for a brother or sister. Same is true when something bad happens in the family. We don't like anybody to know, do we? Why? Because we have the same last name. And if someone in our family is acting like a clown, well, you're going to look at me and you're going to think I'm a clown because we have the same name. That's the idea that we're going to run into this morning, but in a positive way. We know the negative effects of it, but God's going to put some positive effects on it because God's people are in a negative place. They're in a painful place. They're in a hurting place. They are in a place of unfaithfulness, and God says, here's what I'm going to do about it. Here's what I'm going to do about it. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's go down to verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king. If you're an underliner, circle king. Circle king. And deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. If you're underlining, I circled he. I circled king, and I circled he. Here is the name. The Lord is our righteousness. Yahweh said, can you? All right? And then we're about to get into what's so important about king and he. Okay, so the previous chapters, Jeremiah chapter 21, Jeremiah chapter 21. You can go through it and read it. I'm asking you to trust me just for the time being. I want you to get this lesson. Go back and give you something good to do this week. 21 and 22, king, 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 king. All right? The scripture is laying out the case and showing us what God is doing here. God has been talking about leaders. And now here, God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah for his people to hear that God is going to raise up a king. Now, the reason why I had you circle king is because when we get to 33, very similar language. However, the word king, not a part of the next little pericope. So we have a king and we have he will be named. Now, God's going to raise up for David a branch. Throughout the Old Testament, branch is a word used for the Messiah. And we know the Messiah is Jesus Christ. You can look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah. These all refer to the Messiah as the branch. And so God is saying to Israel that I am going to raise up for you this branch to be king. Okay? And then the name that he will be called, the Lord is righteous. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Jesus bears this name. Jesus bears this name, the Lord is righteous. And you and I, of course, everything we know about Jesus and everything we have seen in Jesus, everything we have heard from Jesus, everything we've heard about Jesus, we know that he is righteous. We know that he is acceptable to God. We know that he is in good standing. We also know that he's perfect, right? We also know that he is holy. We know that he was the perfect sacrifice because he lived the perfect life. We know that he fulfilled everything the Father wanted him to. Now, this is why this name is so important. Because God puts this name on his king. And now, in Jeremiah 33, the second time that this title is used, God is going to put this name on something or someone else. Turn over to chapter 33. Jeremiah 33. Now, a little background. Jeremiah 31 through 33, these three chapters, pop, pop, pop. It's moved on from the king, and now God is talking about city, 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 city. Go back and read it this week, okay? Jeremiah 31 through 33. I circled it every time I hit it. City, 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 city. He's talked about the king and how he is going to make the branch, Jesus, his king. The Lord is righteousness. Yahweh said, can you? Now, and I'll just hit you with a couple verses. 31:38. 31:38. I'll just give you a couple highlights. 31:38 says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city shall be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. 32:28. 32:28. Hey, Donna, if you lose it, I'll give you a copy of this, okay? I got you. 32:28. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am giving this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall capture it. All right, so God is saying, hey, city, people, you're going down. Babylon's going to be the ones that take you away, that knock you down. Then 32:36. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, I will gather them from all the countries to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place and I will make them dwell in safety. All right, so God is saying, full circle here, this city, Jerusalem, it's my beloved city. I put you here. You are not faithful. And so I let somebody else come in, smack you around, take some of you away, and leave everybody else here sitting in a pile of dirt. But I love you. Now, we look at Israel the same way our kids look at us, right? This hurts me more than it hurts you. That's it, you're grounded. Hey, what's the next thing? You ever had to ground one of your kids? You ever had to ground them, I don't know, from their car, from their devices, from going anywhere? What's the first thing that they want to know when they learn that they are in trouble when they're grounded? What? How long? Yeah, how long is this going to last, right? And we're arbitrary. We're like, I don't know, you put me on the spot here. A week? Well, I got to think about how much am I going to suffer from this punishment? Because this really does hurt me more than it does you. So how long do I want to have to, They just want to know when's the punishment going to be over. What we do as parents is, the point of this is, when are you going to learn, right? It depends. I mean, if you're going to be punished, the point really is, when are you going to get it right? Because that's all I care about. I want you to get it right. I don't want you to be punished or grounded or not be able to play with this or that or go here or there. I'm not trying to restrict your life. I'm trying to teach you a lesson about something important. You tell me, how long is it going to take for you to do the right thing? Oh, okay, I'm right now. And so God is taking his people through this entire process. He said, I gave you everything you got. You weren't faithful to me, so I had to bring a little punishment. But I love you. I love you, and after that punishment, I'm going to restore. After that punishment, I'm going to bring you back. I'm not going to leave you out there. I'm not going to leave you against me. I haven't made us enemies. I just have to teach you a lesson. I have to teach you a lesson. Because, well, what? Same thing as we are parents. Our kids don't know everything yet, do they? Not yet. They will at about the age of 14 or 15, I think is when it kicks in. Yeah, they will know everything at some point. But they don't yet. And God's people, Israel, they didn't know everything. Why? Because they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God. And so God brings them throughout this. And the next one, let's see, we read 32:36. I'm going to bring you back to safety. Look at 32:42. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all the great disaster, so I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. God says to Jerusalem, I took you out of your town, and I will bring you back in. All right, so you get in the picture? He's talking about the city. He's talking about his people. The next one is 33. Look at verse 4. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah that were torn down to make a defense against the siege mounds and against the sword. They're coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath, for I have hidden my face from this city for all of their evil. Behold, verse 6, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore their fortunes. When you get in trouble, like when we were kids or when we are kids, we get in trouble and we get mad at our parents, right? As if they did something wrong by punishing us. We sinned, we broke the rule, we did something wrong, they held the line, and we get mad at them. How can you be so mean? How can you be so cruel? And God reminds his people, look, you're the reason you're in this trouble. God says, I didn't do anything wrong. I told you exactly what to do. I gave you the expectations, and you went, no thanks. And you went your own way, and it was hurting you. It was destroying you. It was making you less of what you are meant to be. God is a good father. And so he says, I hurt you, and I'm going to bring you back. I didn't hurt you to leave you. I didn't hurt you to destroy you. I hurt you to teach you, and now I'm going to bring you back. And then finally, the last one, go down to verse 9, Jeremiah 33, 9. And this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and a glory before all the nations of the earth who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it. So when you get your act together and you understand what I have done for you, the final verse is going to be you singing my praise. I thank the Lord. How old is Carson? 22. My oldest son is 22 years old. I'm at this chapter. Woo! I've been through the other chapters. But I'm at this chapter. Where my oldest son, 22 years old, and he finally looks at me and says, Dad, whew, you were right. What? Yeah, Dad, you were right. And I'm not saying anything out of turn. He'll tell you. He's finally come to the point. I get it. We had our times. I tried to go my own way. You tried to teach me what was right. I said, no thanks. I'm going to go my own way. And you said, no, I'm holding the line. This is how you need to be. And he has gotten to the place where he goes, okay, you knew. And that's what God says about his people, specifically his city, Jerusalem. Now, look at what he does with this name, because this is big. Don't you love that part? I say all of that to say this. Jeremiah chapter 33, let's start in verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Something is missing from that verse that we might have noticed was present in chapter 23. Did you catch it? We circled it. King. There we go. He's describing the branch, but he leaves out the word king. Now, this is significant, okay? I'm not just blowing smoke and making stuff up. He's talking about Jesus, and he has been talking about them, so he's left out the word king. He says the branch is still going to rule. Verse 16, in those days, Judah will be saved, and I circled this one, Jerusalem will dwell securely. Now, you're wondering why. Why would I circle Jerusalem? Because in chapter 23, Jerusalem's not mentioned. Instead, he said Judah and Israel. Now he's saying Judah and Jerusalem. Why? Because he's talking about his city. He's talking about his city. Jerusalem will dwell securely, and this is the name by which... Informal poll, what's the next word in your Bible? This is the name by which, I heard it. Anybody else? Anything else? You see it? You see the word it? This is important. I mean, I'm not just, Anyone have anything besides it? You have sheep? All right. Matt's got a good Bible. It is she. It is she. Okay. This is the name by which it or she, that's the Hebrew, the original language. The original language is she. It's not calling God a she. It is saying she will also be called Yahweh Tzidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. Okay. Why, Michael? Why'd you make all a big deal about that? Here's why. Because God has made a case leading up to chapter 23 of rising and raising up his righteous branch of David, Jesus, the Messiah, and the Messiah will have the moniker, the Lord is righteous. Now he has raised up and made the case all the way up through chapter 33 to say that his holy city, Jerusalem, will also bear the same moniker, the Lord is righteous. Okay, well, what's the point of all of that? The point of all of that is when God looks at his son and God looks at his people, he gives them the same name. Whew. Now, some people don't like this. It makes some people very nervous because we have seen some religions falsely make ourselves on an equal footing with Jesus, right? Like we are some kind of gods ourselves. That's not what's going on here. And when you understand righteous, because righteous doesn't mean, oh, you did it all perfect. Anything God said, you absolutely nailed it. That's not what righteous means. Righteous is the standing. It is not the achievement of perfection. It is getting credit of being in the right place. That's what righteous means. Okay? So it's just like, it's just like if you went to court. If you went to court, the difference between not guilty and innocent. You may have been declared not guilty, but you're not innocent, right? And again, the Bible over and over says, look, none of you are innocent. You've all messed up. You've all made mistakes, but God, through his son, declares you not guilty. That means I'm not bringing the punishment on you. You escape. You escape the punishment. You escape the bad. And so Jeremiah makes this point, and we have this beautiful name of God, Yahweh Tzidkenu, and I know with the Hebrew it doesn't quite roll off the tongue, may not sound beautiful, but it is, because he says, my branch, my son, Jesus Christ, and my people, my city, they get the same name. Now, let's bring it forward to us, church. Church. In fact, we are Sunrise Church of... And when we were baptized into Christ, we became Christians. We get his name. We get his name. Church, we get the name, the same name of God's Son. Now, that doesn't make us haughty. It doesn't make us look down at other people. It doesn't say, yeah, I'm a Christian because I'm perfect. No. I'm a Christian. I received the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because God looked at me and said, I will give you righteousness. I can appreciate this name, right? Tony read for us in 1 John chapter 3. And he nailed it with the children. Because John says to the church, he goes, hey, look, we are God's children. And what do the children receive? The Father's name, do they not? Exactly. The kids get the family name. And so we are the children of God. And here's the cool thing. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. And here's what I underlined three times. Because John, in this reading, what was that, Tony, 1 through 10? Something like that? 1 through 10. In verses 2 and 3 and 7, you see this little phrase that you just might even miss. It's so subtle. As he is. Three times in this section, as he is. So John's making the point that we are followers of Jesus, we are believers of Jesus, we have the same name as Jesus, so we are as he is. Wow! That is powerful, isn't it? That is amazing. That's amazing. I'll turn over there real quick. Let me get over there. 1 John chapter 3. The first one is in verse 2. What are we looking forward to? Sight. Having our eyes open to see Him as He is. No more veil. No more spiritual. And I'm kind of imagining Jesus. Nope. When He comes back, face to face. Face to face. Verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in Him, we hope. We don't see it yet. We don't see Him as He is. We have to hope in Him so we purify ourselves as He is pure. Okay. That means I am so looking forward to seeing His face, and I know that only in holiness will I approach God, that I'm going to be pure. I'm not just going to live a life of nastiness and sin just like everybody else in the world, because I have high hopes. I'm ready to see God. So as He purified Himself, He didn't allow Himself to be defiled by worldly things. I won't either. I won't either. And then in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever lives like Jesus gets to be like Jesus. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? And that goes against another worldly teaching that we hear so often, right? Oh, you just do whatever you want. And in the end, God's just going to say, all right. No, John. John tells us, you're God's kids. You're God's kids. But if you're going to be as He is, you live as He lives. Okay. I want the honor of the family name, right? So I'm going to live up to the family name. It's making sense, right? Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. This is a blessing. This is a blessing that God that takes for Jesus and He shares it with Jerusalem, puts it together. He already made the case, Jerusalem, you're not the perfect one here. My branch is the perfect one. My branch is my king. He is the one that's perfect, but I'm going to put you guys together and you're both going to be called the Lord is righteous. And now you and I, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're not the perfect ones here. He is. But you and I get to be called as He is. We get to share His name. We get to share His name. And that keeps me humble because I know I don't earn it. I know I don't deserve it. People look at me and they should see Jesus, right? They should see a reflection of Him, but they look at me and go, yeah, it's kind of not a real clear reflection. I know. I'm not a great reflection of Jesus, but I get His name. I get His name. I mean, I'm not the favorite child in the family, but I'm still invited to dinner. Right? Yeah. I can live with that. And I'm trying to be better. I want my father to be proud of me. I want him to be happy. I mean, I want him to look at me and go, all right. I mean, not too much, because I know what happened to Job when, you know, God looked at him and said, have you seen this guy? Got him on the radar, didn't it? Yeah, I know. Maybe that's it, theologically speaking. Maybe some of us are living just not quite as righteous as we should because we don't want to get on the enemy's radar. Is that what we're doing? Safety measure? I don't know. Maybe so. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is going to help us figure this out. And again, there's so much that helps us figure this out. In fact, if you read Romans 5 through 7, put that on there, but I'm just going to take a piece of it. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 18, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, a lot of words. The Apostle Paul just sums this up and says, look, and he's comparing Adam and Jesus, first man, last man. Adam sinned. He brought sin into all of creation, and because of that sin, death is the result. Everybody dies. Jesus Christ comes into the world as the last man, and Jesus Christ does it the way God wanted Adam to do it. He's faithful. He's obedient. He listens to the Father and says, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to do what the enemy tries to come in and get me to do. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Again, which is why you remember what happens to Jesus after he is baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and goes out into the wilderness. What happens when he gets hungry? What happened? The devil shows up and he tempts him. Right? Jesus wasn't walking down the dusty roads in the streets just going, you know, it's a beautiful morning. Like just avoiding everything bad. He faced it and he was obedient. He was obedient. And because of his obedience, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't come to God and say, God, oh, I'm good. You gotta love this guy. No. We come to God through Jesus Christ and we say, God, I believe that your son got it right. I believe that his obedience was perfect. I believe that you sent him and I believe that he fulfilled everything that I couldn't fulfill for myself. And I want the gift that he has offered me. And God says, righteousness, it's yours. The name of the King is the name put on the people. The Lord is righteous. Yahweh said, can you? See, the Lord is righteous. He's put on his king. He's put on his city. The Lord is righteous. He's put on his son. It's put on his children. Because of what Jesus did. And doesn't that help us appreciate Jesus? Yeah. Doesn't make me great. Makes Jesus great. But because Jesus is so great, I get to be a part of the family. Because Jesus is so great, I get the name. Because Jesus is great, I too get the righteousness, the right standing. So when my Father in heaven looks at me, he looks at me, and because of what Jesus did, he looks at me and he smiles. You know that feeling when you tell somebody else about your kid, what your kids are up to and what they've accomplished lately? You start to, you know that feeling? You know what I'm talking about, right? What do we call that word? Well, yeah, we do. We're proud, right? We're proud of our kids. They do something good, and we're like, hey, have you seen that? Have you seen this? You know what they're up to? God looks at us, and he says, because of Jesus, I look at you, and you get credit for what he has done. But I'm not as good as Jesus. No, of course not. I know that better than anyone. I'm not as good as Jesus. But I get the same standing as Jesus. And what does that do? Well, that keeps me humble. Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve for the Father in heaven, the creator of all things, to treat me as good as Jesus. I don't deserve that. But that's what he does. He treats me as good as Jesus. I have been made righteous. Why? Because the Lord is my righteousness. I will not get too big for my britches. I will not think more highly of myself than I should. The Lord is righteous, And he gives that to me. And that name is important. That name is important. Why? Well, Acts chapter 4. Just one verse, I'll read it for you. Acts chapter 4, 12 tells us, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one name that we receive. There is only one name that brings salvation. I can't just put my hope in something that I think is good and cross my fingers and hopefully it'll work out at the end. It's not how it works. There is one name given from God by which salvation comes. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ, his only Son. And we have put our hope and our belief in his Son. And we have trusted the God who looks at his Son and says, the Lord is righteous, Yahweh Tzidkenu, and looks at those who believe in him and says, the Lord is righteous, Yahweh Tzidkenu. You are one. You are one. Our faith in the righteousness of Jesus allows us to share in his righteousness. And we are saved from our sins and we are declared innocent before God. God looks at us and because of our faith in Jesus, because of all the work that Jesus did on the cross, because of all the work that Jesus did in his life, God restored him from the grave. That's called justification. He brought him back to life and says, see, he is my son. And he held him up for the whole world. And those of us that look to his son and say, see, we believe that. We trust that. We know that. That's where we're going. He says, all right, I'm going to make you a part of my family. I'm going to make you a part of my family. And when you become part of God's family, God says, here's my name. That's all you. It's all yours. You get the benefits of the family name. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Oh, I had fun. I hope you did too. I hope you did too. If you're sitting here this morning and you do not have the fun of having God's name, and you're not a part of his family, look, we invite you because membership is free. Membership is free. The only thing it costs you is your whole entire life. That's it. That's it. But if you need to become a Christian today, we invite you to do so. All right? And if you are a Christian today, you already got the name, don't ruin it. Don't make the father look down at your life and go, let's talk about one of their siblings. Right? You run into someone you hadn't seen in a while and say, hey, how are the kids? And you're like doing that mental checklist of, all right, who can I talk about this week? Don't do that to God. Don't put him in that position to where he's like, hey, have you seen what Donna's up to? Well, don't look at Michael. Don't do that. He gave you his name, all right? He gave you his name. What's your job? Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up, right? We are righteous as he is righteous. All right, so if you need to respond today, the invitation's open.